You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
On a beautiful Thursday, it is the Gym Class coming your way here at KGYM as we hedge away on 1600 AM along with 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, your KGYM stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Udash, buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his back porch on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. No need for the heater today or the rest of this week. I'd keep it handy though for next week. Just keep that in mind.
Good advice. You're right. Not needed today, but good advice for next week. Very, very nice conditions here in Eastern Iowa.
73 degrees today. And you don't get that very often in the championship day of the girls' state volleyball tournament, but that's what we have as far as this year is concerned. We'll get you updated on what's happening at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse. We'll do that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And we have a little bit of COVID news as far as the National Football League is concerned. We have NFL football still on for tonight. Packers, 49ers. Thought we'd see some Hawkeyes and Cyclones. Won't see as many as we thought we would at the beginning of the year, unfortunately, due to injuries. But they will play tonight, all four of our frequencies. And that will kick off at about 7:20, 7 o'clock with the pregame on Westwood One. Great show coming up for you today. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Masters. That still sounds weird to say on November the 5th, but we're going to talk Masters with you as it will get underway a week from today at not quite as green and floral Augusta National, but still fun. And we will get the rundown on that coming up with Bob in just a little bit. And then John Morris, the voice of the Baylor Bears, will join us as we'll talk Iowa State and Baylor. They will kick it off on Saturday night just past 6 o'clock. We've got that for you beginning at 4 o'clock on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM with the pregame show coming up on Saturday afternoon into the evening. But we got volleyball going on right now. They're just getting underway for the 3A state championship battle between the Mount Vernon Mustangs and the Green Devils of Osage. And we had 5A and 4A earlier on today, and it was a 50-50. Well, we knew one Eastern Iowa team was going to win in 4A. Liberty made it to the 5A championship game but fell 3-1 to number 2 rated Ankeny, but a great job by the Bolts and the Lightning. And did a great job getting to the championship in only the fourth year of existence as far as the school is concerned. And then it was the All-Eastern Iowa final as Xavier took out West Delaware today, 3-0. And a very good senior class goes out on top for the Xavier Saints and head coach Austin Filer.
Yeah, terrific season for Xavier. Of course, I think benefited from playing a lot of 5A teams, mostly 5A teams, I think. But very dominant in the state tournament. I don't believe Xavier lost a set.
Did not.
And, yeah. And first Metro title in volleyball since 2008, I believe.
When Marion.
When Roxanne Paulson and Marion won it.
Yep.
So. Yeah. And so, and, you know, we talked yesterday. Liberty, you haven't heard the last of that program.
Oh, no.
Terrific runner-up finish. But it's going to be in the mix for a few years to come.
Yeah, problem is the top five are all loaded for Bear next year in 5A. Ankeny's got a bunch coming back, Centennial, PV, Liberty, also with a whole bunch coming back, and Valley with a whole bunch coming back as well. So, yeah, we'll see. It will be tough. It's going to be a very good year for 5A volleyball next year. It was this year as well. 3A just getting underway, and then 2A and 1A will come up a little bit later on. As we mentioned, Bob Herrig will join us here in a couple of minutes. COVID news in the NFL, Mark. We've got camps or facilities being closed for the afternoon. Both our teams are closing their facilities, your Chicago Bears and my Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs have released the fact that a staff member, not a player or a coach, but a staff member Has been tested positive as far as COVID-19 is concerned, and instead of chancing it, they're going to just shut down the facility for the rest of the day today. Game is still on with Carolina coming up on Sunday. Likewise, same thing with the Bears. Their game is still on as of right now, but they also had some COVID issues today.
Yeah, and I don't know what term you would use to call this. I wouldn't call it an outbreak. It does affect, I think, at least a third of the teams. Largely, I think this is precautionary and within the NFL guidelines of someone who tests positive. There's a report out that in the last week of a round of testing, there were a total of almost 43,000 tests of players and team personnel, and we've got about 25 positive tests. That's a minuscule number. And over a three-month period, there have been over 500,000 tests administered, and you've got about 160 players and personnel testing positive. So while you don't want one positive test, and some of those have been false positives, I don't know how many have been serious, but, you know, it's been a pretty small number. And like in college football, you couldn't have gone into this thinking there was not going to be an issue. There's four or five games called off in college football this weekend because of positive tests. So the scramble goes on, I guess.
49ers may have only two wide receivers tonight due to injuries and contact tracing as well. So we'll see how that all plays out. 319-366-1600, that is the text line. Bob Herrig's going to join us just a couple of minutes from now. Iowa and Iowa State basketball news today. Jamie Pollard says Iowa State will allow around 1,400 people per game at Hilton Coliseum. And batting down the hatches, Iowa and North Carolina Central, it sounds like, to start the season, whenever that'll be for the Hawkeyes.
Okay, Mr. Nickname, what's Central's nickname?
No idea. No idea.
Oh, man.
I'm letting you down.
It's Stump Scott Unash Hour, but this is filling in the Iowa basketball schedule. We already know about Gonzaga at a neutral site, North Carolina coming in, Northern Illinois, Iowa State, and now North Carolina Central. Apparently going to be the opener for the Iowa basketball program in about, what, 3 weeks, Scott?
Give or take. Give or take, anyway, but around that number. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, joins us. Masters week next week. Weird to say, but that's the reality, and we'll talk about it when we return.
When Tim and Terry Dickens were kids, if they came home from school and told their dad future customers of Hertine and Stocker Jewelers would shop from a phone, Willa probably would have said that was just a lot of nonsense. But times change. The Dickens family always invites you to shop at HertineandStockerJewelers.com. Browse, add to cart, and purchase right there. Then get your new treasure however you like. Complimentary, of course. Choose personal front door delivery, have it shipped, opt for curbside pickup, or pop in the store to get it. Hertine and Stocker always offers free gift wrap, too. It's the perfect connection of online shopping and old-timey service. Just pull up HertineandStockerJewelers.com on your phone and start shopping. And you're always welcome to stroll by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. No matter how you shop, Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate are always there to help.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Keeping cozy inside with a beautiful view of the outside is exactly what you need this winter. And Alexander Lumber has just the right windows from WeatherShield. With a unique ability to combine stunning style with energy efficiency, WeatherShield is creativity expressed in smart design. Alexander Lumber is excited to welcome the full line of WeatherShield windows to the family. See them today at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Back with you at 3:13 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. A balmy 73 outside in eastern Iowa. Thank you very much for joining us. Scott Udash, Mark Dukes. Buttons on the other side of the glass here today as we take you through the rest of your Thursday daylight hours. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way next right here on KGYM. Very happy to talk golf with you. And why not? It's 73 beautiful degrees outside. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, kind enough to join us as we get ready for Masters Week, which is still a very, very 2020 thing to say coming up next week. But that's those are the cards dealt us, and we will definitely be happy to see the Masters go off for 2020, even though the patrons will not be there. And, Bob, we should be playing out there today when it's 73 in November in Iowa.
Absolutely. You know, it's a strange year, so why not, right? Why not have perfect weather at this time of year? And you know, it looks like they might have some decent weather next week in Augusta. It might rain a little bit, but it's not going to be cold. You know, there was all this talk about, how much colder it could be. You know, looking forward to them trying to make the best of a really difficult situation.
Bob, on the surface, kind of an odd marriage when College Game Day, ESPN's College Game Day, announced it would be at the Masters. I think that they're going to set up on number 9 of the par 3 course. But what do you know about that?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. I know this will come as a shock, but they didn't consult me. I had heard some rumblings, and when it became true, you know, I was a little surprised. You know, it not from our standpoint, but from the Augusta National standpoint. I mean, you know, I don't know whose idea it was. I'm guessing it was ESPN's idea. It just seems so outside of the box for Augusta. But in a year with no spectators and, you know, obviously there's no college football in April. So, you know, without a par three contest this year, which would have been something that would have been on our air. You know, I think it's a good idea. And you know, from the Masters standpoint, you know, it's got to compete with a lot on Saturday and Sunday. And the majors typically rely on the casual sports fan to drum up the numbers. You know, the hardcore golf people are going to be there. They're going to be watching no matter where it is, no matter when. But it's the average guy who doesn't maybe follow golf on a week-to-week basis, who maybe – you know, tunes into the majors or, you know, a couple of big tournaments or if a named guy is playing. And if they're watching College Game Day on Saturday morning, you know, perhaps it reminds them or pushes them into, oh, yeah, you know, there's golf to watch today. The Masters is on today, you know, and so maybe it helps them lure a few eyeballs away from college football, which, of course, you know, there's a lot of college football on our air also.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of a shrewd move on Augusta's part. I don't see the harm. You know, most of the players will be on the golf course at that point. It's not like, certainly towards the end of the show, you know, because the tee times are going to be in the morning to get done in the early afternoon. The set is going to be on the very back of the driving range. It's not going to be intrusive at all. And so we'll see how it goes. I mean, just another odd thing about this year, but I think kind of neat that they're trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah, Zach Johnson already says he wants to be the guest picker, and somewhere Clifford Roberts is probably rolling over in his grave at this present time anyway. But I think the biggest question, one of the two or three anyway, is how is Augusta National going to play differently in November than it does in the traditional early April time frame as far as this tournament is concerned? And I know that's been a very key question for a lot of people and a lot of the pros as well.
You know, I'm not sure it'll be that much different because the conditions are different in April from year to year. You know, it's a very wide-ranging weather system, in early April in Augusta. You know, there have been years where it's in the 80s and very hot and humid, dry, the golf gets firm. There's years where it's brisk, where you got temperatures in the 60s and 40s in the morning, and maybe a little bit of mist and some wind, and it's cold. I mean, you know, when Zach won in 07,
yep,
that was some very, very cold weather that year. And, you know, his winning score was, you know, right around par. You know, it was a very difficult conditions. And it was the same in 08. You know, Trevor Immelman shot 75 in the last round and still won. So, you know, and yet last year was very, very benign, comfortable conditions when Tiger won. You know, we had, you know, weather was never really an issue. Certainly wasn't cold. So I think it could be anything like what we've seen in April. Now, the big difference is how is the turf going to be? You know, my guess from what I've heard is it might be just, you know, a little bit different than we're used to seeing in April because they've had less of the growing season. And so they might have let it grow in more, you know, because they've not wanted to cut it down. So what does that mean about the fairways? Does it mean they play a little slower? Ball doesn't run as much? If we get some rain next week, obviously that would slow things down. I'm sure the greens will be absolutely perfect. I don't think you have to have any worries about that. They do not oversee the greens. You know, those greens are bent grass year-round. They maintain them year-round. But as you said, it's going to be a fascinating kind of thing to see how it plays, what the players think of it, and, you know, how that might alter their strategy.
You mentioned Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson, and he is on the course right now in Houston. He's two back of the lead through 12 holes, and Zach seems to be rounding into a little bit better form. Not great form, but I guess when you see his buddy Stuart Sink and guys like Brian Gay winning on the tour, that gives you hope.
It absolutely should. I mean, we've had three guys this fall who had gone 7 years or more since their last win. And, you know, Zach hasn't won since the Open in 15. And you know, I would probably argue that Zach is closer to his better days than those guys were. Martin Laird was the other one, you know. And, I mean, Brian Gay hadn't done anything in the last year. I think he had missed 10 of 15 cuts. You know, and Zach knows Augusta. He's played there numerous times now. He must have played 20 Masters by now. And, you know, I think if the conditions are right, you never know. You know, I mean, I'm sure it brings back good feelings for him. It's got to be nice that he's been playing better. He's been getting into the mix a little bit better. You know, so, I just never count out a past champion for sure.
Yeah. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, joining us as we preview the Masters coming up next week at Augusta National in Augusta, Georgia. With the tournament being held in November, there have been more of the top players, I think, on the world golf list playing more than usual this fall to keep the games sharp, I think, a little bit. But there has never been a Masters, I believe, that I can recall that you don't have a clear-cut number one favorite going in. Do you believe that as well?
Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to know because we're so used to, you know, the run-up to the April Masters. You know, it's kind of a progression from the first of the year, and we build toward it. And there's clearly guys who have their game out of shape, or you know, might have had some decent success here or there. There's a good track record to draw from. It doesn't always work out that the hottest player wins or the guys who have won win. You know, obviously, Tiger hadn't won before he won the Masters last year, but he had played a good number of tournaments and had played decently. You know, Reed the year before had been playing. You know, we took it as a surprise. You know, Willett in 16 was a surprise, but you know, obviously Jordan. There's sort of a semblance of normalness about how we got to that point. This has been completely different. You know, there was since the U.S. Open, six, 7 weeks ago now, you know, there's a little bit of a lull. And then there was the two tournaments in Vegas and the Zozo. The second Vegas tournament, the Zozo tournament, were played at courses not in the PGA Tour rotation of courses. So, like, guys were showing up. They're, you know, kind of feeling their way around. It's hard to tell what that means. There's no Players' Championship right before. There's no World Golf Championship right before. It's hard to gauge guys' form, frankly, you know. So I think, in a sense, that opens the field some. Although I think we all are going to be looking at Bryson. You know, he won the U.S. Open by 6 shots. He played pretty well in his last start in Vegas. You know, he's been working at home on his driver and hitting as far as he can. You know, I think he's going to be a fascinating study next week regardless.
Bob, any changes that you know of to Augusta National that we might see next week? I know they want to eventually lengthen one of the par fives, maybe 13. I'm not sure about that, but Any changes to the course itself?
My understanding is they have not lengthened 13. There has been some rumblings that there have been trees planted to the left of the bunkers on 18, on the fairway bunkers that are on the left side. Now, where they are exactly, I don't know. I haven't obviously been there yet. But that would be very interesting if that's true, because that is meant to negate guys just blowing it past those bunkers into an open area over there. And, you know, that's what guys used to do before they moved those bunkers, you know, and then they moved them back and made that harder to do. Well, now if they put a couple trees over there, you know, now you got to try to make sure that you hit the ball into the fairway instead of just blasting it way left where, you know, there's not going to be any spectators. So there's going to be plenty of room over there for that ball to run. So that is interesting. And, you know, you wonder if they did that for, you know, for the purposes of DeChambeau, you know, who can hit it 380 yards up that left side and not have to worry about a bunker, have plenty of grass over there, and have, you know, probably 60 yards in. You know, if that's the case, now he's going to have to curve one into the fairway, you know, unless he could just blow it over those trees. I don't know how tall they are. You know, I guess that's possible too, right? So it's going to be interesting. You know, Bryson has really, you know, kind of brought a lot of discussion along, both good and bad. But I don't think that we can argue that it's really interesting to see how it panned out.
Yeah, it is. And I think he is the favorite going in, obviously. But Justin Thomas has been playing pretty well as of late. Just a handful of guys up there at the top have been playing very good golf as of late anyway. So it'll be interesting to see. And by the time it all shakes out on Sunday, the fourth round, I would imagine you're going to see a pretty star-studded leaderboard yet again.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, the tournament is almost sort of geared that way with a smaller field and, you know, you have all the top names and you know, we had an incredible leaderboard last year. It's almost inevitable that there will be named players up there, top ranked players. And I think the winner of this year's Masters is going to be a unique victory. You know, it's going to be one that is remembered, you know, for all the hardships of this year. And you know, the sad thing is that person is only going to be the reigning Masters champion for about 5 months, you know, unless he wins it again, you know. But for the rest of us, it's a great thing to know that we actually have two Masters in a row. And that, you know, once we get through the holidays, which come up really quick after the Masters, you know, we'll be looking ahead to the next one, you know, and hopefully by that point, there's going to be a way for us to have spectators of some kind there. But I think this is an opportunity to take advantage of what they're going to be able to show us that we wouldn't normally see with spectators. So I think that's, for the fans watching, I think that's the added bonus.
Bob, Scott and I share a fantasy golf team. We're always looking for that next young guy who's going to do great things. I have my eye on Scottie Scheffler. What about him and others?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, he's just he's played very, very well this year. You know, he actually was the rookie of the year, which ended, you know, at the Tour Championship. And unfortunately for him, you know, he got COVID and wasn't able to play in the U.S. Open. And he contended at the PGA Championship and contended a bunch. I mean, you know, it's hard to win the Masters, you know, early on when you haven't had a lot of experience there. But I actually think the no spectators thing bodes well for the guys with no experience or lesser experience, because they don't have to worry about hearing all that noise, you know. And I think the established players might thrive on that, and they're used to it, and they feed off of it. And the younger players get caught up in it, and it can make it harder. So I kind of like some of these young guys, you know, who are going to be in the, you know, Colin Morikawa is another one. Obviously, he won the PGA already, but this is going to be his first Masters. He's only played three majors now. He played the U.S. Open also. So, you know, I kind of like guys like that, you know, who are a little bit under the radar, not as experienced, but playing well, because they've got one less obstacle to overcome, and that is the nerves that come from all that noise.
Before we let you go here, Bob, and thanks for joining us. We appreciate it as always, but that is going to be the strangest thing, to not hear the roars. Eagle roars, and just to hear the sound reverberating through the pines coming up. That is going to be very surreal.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, you know, I happen to think that's a huge negative. You know, can you imagine Tiger winning last year with no fans? I mean, that scene was part of the story, a huge part of the story. The reception, you know, the outpouring. You know, and to have, what, 10, 12, 15 people around clapping, you know, that's where, you know, the champion really is. The champion's the champion, but the champion is going to miss that.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously we all understand why this is, and I think playing it is better than not playing it. But that's going to be one of the negatives to it, I'm afraid. You know, I think after the first day or two, when we've seen the whole golf course, and I'm sure there's going to be different television angles that'll give us views of things we normally wouldn't get to see. I think that'll be really cool. But, you know, by the last day, I think we'll be past that. And you're sort of like, you enjoy the excitement. You enjoy the roars, the noise. Even when you're watching the telecast, you hear roars from places where, you know, that they're not showing. And it makes you wonder what happened. You know, now we're really not going to hear that. And you know, unless a player's spouse can get out there and make a whole lot of noise, you know, I just don't think we're going to be able to enjoy that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, enjoy Augusta anyway, Bob, in this unique year. Always good talking golf with you. And stay safe and have a good time down there, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks again for having me.
You bet. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. Read his stuff at ESPN.com. Great stuff as we get ready for the Masters next week. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and John Morris, play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears, joins us after this here on KGYM.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No, you actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com, especially this fall. With all the debris collection, you'll find out about any delays or schedule changes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Hi, I'm Drew, division president at Reinhart Food Service in Cedar Rapids. And Reinhart is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K through 12 school-sponsored athletics, add getting your Iowa coaching authorization from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood state-approved, fully online classes are happening right now. Sign up and begin your online course anytime, anywhere, and get on track to reach your goals. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
COVID-19 cases are rising rapidly in our community.
Please do your part to slow the spread and keep our hospitals from becoming overwhelmed.
You can help by wearing a mask in public.
Clean your hands frequently with soap and water or alcohol-based hand sanitizer.
Stay home and seek virtual care when sick.
Avoid group gatherings.
With a recent increase in cases and winter months coming, now is the time to slow the spread of COVID-19.
Thank you for doing your part.
Presented by Unity Point Health St. Luke's and Mercy Cedar Rapids.
Back with you on the gym class at 3:34 here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today. We'll get you a Bowling Night in America recap coming up in just a little bit. Scott Mark with you as we go from golf to football. Iowa State and Baylor coming up on a Saturday. That will be a 4 o'clock pregame right here on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM as Iowa State and Baylor will go at it in Big 12 play. John Morris, the play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears, kind enough to join us here as we talk a little Big 12 football today with you on the program. And John, thanks. Hope you and yours are doing very, very well. And boy, it's been a roller coaster up and down, start, stop, start again year down in Waco, hasn't it?
Yeah, guys, it's great to be on with you. It's been a long time since I've been in gym class, so I'm glad to be back in gym class with you guys. But you're right, it has been a season really unlike any other with everything we've been through and everybody else also. But to start and stop, we've had three games postponed and ultimately canceled this year. Actually, one of those was Oklahoma State, and they pushed that to December 12th. So just really strange. Here we are in November, and Baylor's played four games. I mean, we've only played four games. So it has been really strange so far this season.
John, tell us about this Baylor team and what you've seen on both sides of the ball. 1-3 right now, but an overtime loss in there and in the last two. So what have you seen out of this team?
Yeah, if I was given a grade right now, it would definitely be an incomplete for this team because I just don't think we've seen everything Baylor has to offer yet this year. New coach, new coaching staff. Dave Aranda came from LSU where he was the defensive coordinator there on the national championship team a year ago. And I love Dave Aranda. I think it was a great hire. He's going to do great things here at Baylor. But then there's always, that transition to a new coach and a new staff and new schemes and all of that. So I think we're sort of feeling that, especially when you factor in that we didn't have spring practice. How important is spring ball when you've got a new coach? And we didn't have that at all. And then all the starts and stops we talked about for this season. But, I think there's brighter days ahead, certainly, than, the 1-3 start to this year.
Well, in the past, John, everyone thought not only Big 12, but Baylor football as well. Offense, offense, offense. And the new coaching staff, of course, with the background as far as defense is concerned. And I know that they don't like giving up 177 yards a game and that. But, overall, the defense has been better, I believe, for this Baylor football team. Is that what you've seen so far?
I think the defense has really been the most consistent area for this team so far. And it hadn't been great, but it's been really consistently good. And I think we'll get better as, again, they get a better grasp of the schemes and what our defensive coaches want them to do. But isn't it funny in this league how it was just offense, offense, offense. And now you've got coaches like Coach Aranda and Coach Campbell and Gary Patterson at TCU who are kind of, are very much defense-minded coaches. It's been a shift. I mean, a real shift, I think, for several teams in this league putting so much emphasis on defense.
What has Dave Aranda expressed this week in terms of his concerns about Iowa State?
Everything. I mean, there's a lot to be concerned about. Brock Purdy is just really good, veteran quarterback. Breece Hall, leading rusher in the nation. Good wideouts to throw to. And then defensively, just very sound. Dave said on our coaches show this week how impressed he is with Matt Campbell and just the defensive schemes and the way they play so hard and make very few mistakes. So that, to me, says, you know, there's not much margin of error for Baylor this week, and especially when you consider we're playing up in Ames. So it's going to be tough. Coach Aranda has the greatest respect for Coach Campbell and what the Cyclones are doing this year and, you know, leading the league and playing for a Big 12 championship. So Baylor's got its work cut out for him, no doubt, this week.
Well, Charlie Brewer, obviously, the biggest name for this Baylor team coming back. And the offense, I don't think, has hit their stride yet, like you talked about. And the starting and stopping has not helped, certainly. But everyone knows this offense can go off at any time.
You know, I think that's a very valid statement about Charlie. I think he can play better than we've seen so far, but it's a new system for him. Our offensive coordinator is new, Larry Fedora. So they've got to, you know, be on the same page, and Charlie's doing what, you know, Larry wants and the offensive coaches want. So I think there's more productivity to come. Let me say that. I don't think Baylor has had its best game yet overall, and certainly not its best offensive game. So Charlie's a veteran quarterback. He's a senior. He's our Brock Purdy, so we wouldn't trade him for anybody. And it's great to have a senior and all that experience at that position for Baylor.
Yeah, Scott mentioned a choppy start to the season, three out of the first five games being postponed because of COVID. Is that under control now in Waco?
Well, as of this minute, I think it is, but, you know, it could change later today. It could change when they test again on Friday before they get on the plane, you know, to come to Ames. But as of right now, it's very good. We had a real outbreak after our trip to West Virginia, and it forced the postponement of our next game after that. But they figured out what it was. You know, they were trying to say, what do we do? You know, why? Because I think we've got a really good protocol in place. And it turned out they pinpointed it as a false negative case. So one of the players, and they don't know who, but one or maybe two on the trip to West Virginia were actually positive but had shown up as negative. And here they are, you know, in a close environment on the plane and then around teammates and coaches on the trip to West Virginia. And that led to that spike in COVID cases. So, you know, once they figured that out, you know, we've moved forward, and it's been very good. We've had zero new cases each of the last 2 weeks. So thank the Lord for that. You know, that's you got to get your players on the field, and they got to be out there to practice and able to play and play well. So we've been pretty good at having players healthy and at practice and available for the games the last couple of weeks.
I was going to ask, going back, you mentioned the new coaching staff. How big of a surprise and shock was it when Coach Rhule left to go to the NFL?
To be honest, not a shock at all.
Okay.
We just had the feeling that he wanted to be an NFL coach. Remember the first year that he was here, and he was only here 3 years, but the first year he was here, we went 1-11, and he still got an interview for a head coaching job at Indianapolis. And that, you know, that kind of made me realize, hey, the NFL guys, they must really think a lot of Matt Rhule. If even coming off a 1-11 season, they still want to talk to him. And he talked to them and you know, made it very clear. He was very open about it when he had those NFL interviews. And then there were more after the second year. And then after the third year, when Baylor went 11-3 and played the Big 12 championship game and played in the Sugar Bowl, you know, that was the year to kind of for him to cash in and, you know, make the jump to the NFL. He got a great opportunity with Carolina. So to answer your question, not much of a surprise, but boy, he did some really good things in a short time here at Baylor, and I wish him nothing but the best.
What's your overview of the Big 12 this year? It's kind of taken a hit nationally because, let's face it, mainly Oklahoma and Texas have lost a couple games and apparently out of the championship chase, although not totally. But your overview of the Big 12 this year?
Yeah, and I hate that, too. I mean, I hate that the national story is that we're not going to have anybody in the college football playoff just because everybody now has at least one loss. And like you said, Oklahoma has a couple and Texas has a couple. But I think in the league, within the league, we're going to have some teams that would definitely play well if they got the opportunity to be in the college football playoff. I don't know who that is right now. You know, with six teams within a game of each other at the top of the standings, it's going to be a wild race to the championship to determine, you know, who the two teams are that play in the Big 12 championship game and, you know, who gets, you know, the top bowl bids from this league. So Iowa State is certainly right there. But Kansas State, no Oklahoma State, no U's kind of, you know, they've come back from the ashes, and Texas had a big win last week in Stillwater. So all of those schools, I think, are going to be in the mix. And, you know, with the uncertainty that we're playing with this year, so many things could change over the course of a week at any point in the season. I just think it's going to be a wild season, and I think we've seen some upsets, and I think we'll see some more over the course of this year.
I don't think it's been lost on you, John, that the last couple years anyway, this has been a pretty heated rivalry between Iowa State and Baylor. No doubt about it. I think the coaches, even the past regime with Coach Rule, I think there was a lot of respect there. But, boy, it did get tense a few times over the last couple years.
Yeah, true. And it's turned into a really good rivalry. I mean, some really good games. I can remember the last meeting last year here in Waco when Baylor jumped to a 20-0 lead and Iowa State came right back in the second half and took the lead, and Baylor had to hit a field goal to win it over Iowa State last year. I mean, that was a fantastic game and finish from a Baylor perspective. It was a great finish and a tough one for Iowa State. But then, you know, a little bit of a brawl 2 years ago when Baylor was up there. So I don't in fact, Coach Aranda asked me the other day in my office, he said, what is it? What's the bad blood between Baylor and Iowa State? And I said, to be honest, I don't know. There's nobody there that I don't like, but there is something there. And, you know, it's led to some, you know, like you said, some heated games and heated outbursts on the field. So I don't know. I mean, I think this will be, I hope a good clean game for everybody, but another good game in this series between Baylor and Iowa State.
And I think it's going to be a little bit more defensive this year. That's kind of the way everything is trending as far as Big 12 football is concerned. And I don't think that's a bad thing either.
No, not a bad thing at all. I think you're right. You know, if we're guessing the score or predicting the score, I would think it would be maybe not single digits, but 20s, you know, for both teams. And that's not to slight the offenses. I mean, look at the great offensive skill players that Baylor has and that Iowa State has. So I don't mean that to slight the offenses at all. They are certainly potential, you know, to put up a lot of points. But I just think the defensive-minded head coaches like Matt Campbell and like Dave Aranda, it might be a little bit lower scoring than years past.
Yeah. I know you're going to like these numbers here. Sunny and 70 on Saturday night, mostly clear, and it'll be in the, looks like upper 50s to around 60 during the game. So that is music to your ears, right?
Listen, I noticed that about a week ago. When we found out it was going to be a 6 p.m. game, our first thought was, oh, my gosh, when the sun goes down, it's going to be so cold up there. But then look at the weather and see the Indian summer you guys are having this week and extending that to Saturday. We appreciate that. Yeah, that's more to our liking, obviously, than the 19 degrees it was when we were up there 2 years ago.
Nothing like that coming up this time, but – hey, John.
No.
John, appreciate it as always. Thank you for joining us. Safe travels and best of luck to you and the Bears.
Man, I appreciate it. It's great to be on with you guys. Thanks very much, and enjoy this great weather here in November.
All right. John Morris, the play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears, joining us here on the Gym Class at 3:48 here on this Thursday. We are going to get to a break. We'll come back. We'll update you on what's happening downtown at State Volleyball. We'll have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night and more after this here on KGYM.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man in foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. less than legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Pros today have to do whatever the job calls for, and the Home Depot is here to help make that easier. With a wide range of delivery options, you can get what you need, from job lot quantities to small supply runs, delivered where and when you need it. Don't want to buy the tool? Rent it. We've got the most innovative products and more ways for pros to find them, in-store and online. Pros are changing, so are we. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for a table at a restaurant.
Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party... Oh, there you are.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for, even though kickoff isn't until 7. The game where the Goodyear blimp becomes a Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen, as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you. We get it because it moves us too. Goodyear, more driven.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
3:51, back with you here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, George Blaha, who is the voice of Michigan State football, will join us. Spartans and the Hawkeyes coming up on Saturday, scheduled for an 11 o'clock start. We will have Before the Boom coming your way at 9 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. That comes up 2 hours prior to each Hawkeye game this season. And, we will definitely tune in to that and see how everything goes. I'm following things right now, Mark, because there are reports from a couple of sources that are following the Kansas City Chiefs that Chiefs all-pro defensive lineman Chris Jones has been placed on the COVID list. And the Chiefs came out earlier today with a staff member on the COVID list, or at least has COVID, and they shut everything down today. Jones did not practice today, and now, like I said, there are reports out there that, unconfirmed at this time anyway by the team, that he is on the COVID list.
Yeah, that could mean a positive test. It could mean an exposure of some kind, and I think a lot of these things are being done out of precaution, and I think that's a good thing. We'll have to follow that, and we'll have to follow what's going on in the rest of the NFL and college football this weekend.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, there are some games at Cal and Washington, the Pac-12 opener. The Pac-12, of course, the final conference to get underway, that has been postponed already due to COVID concerns. By the way, great to see a lot of Mac. It wasn't just Maction last night. It was a full plate of Maction last night, some very interesting games last night. But it was fun to watch a little football because I did not bowl. More on that later.
Yeah, some interesting, some not so interesting. Buffalo looked really good.
Yeah, they're good.
I thought Toledo looked really good, but yeah, you mentioned some of the games that are postponed this weekend. Purdue, Wisconsin, of course, and none of the service academies are going to be playing. Air Force and Army is off, and Tulsa and Navy is off among, I think, a list of seven right now that are not going to be played.
True. Yeah, and last night, of course, you had Western Michigan putting up 58 against a really, really bad Akron team. Miami of Ohio won. Central Michigan got a victory. You mentioned Buffalo won at DeKalb. And like you said, Toledo looked really good, and they're 38-3 pasting over Bowling Green. You missed it earlier on. Xavier, the 4A volleyball champion. Xavier beating West Delaware 3-0. It was also today in 5A, Ankeny topping Iowa City Liberty in the Lightning, or let's say Bolts. That's easier off the tongue. The Bolts' first ever appearance in a state championship game in any sport. That was 3-1. Right now, Osage leading Mount Vernon 2-0. The Mustangs, of course, defending champions, but Osage is the number one team right now in Class 3A, and they are up 2-0. 2A and 1A will come up in just a little bit. Time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. After Week 9, it is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the official home of Bowling Night in America. And I was on the docket last night, and then we had to move things around, and I ended up not being on the roster last night. But we'll be back next week.
I'll tell you what, since I bowed out, it's gone to hell, hasn't it? I mean,
it really has. We were in last going into last night. I have no idea. Are you giving me, as kind of you and Rusty as the owners and proprietors of this team, are you giving me the vote of confidence, the dreaded vote of confidence?
Yes, at this point, but it's tenuous. Okay.
Okay. Very good.
All right. That's fair enough.
That's fair enough.
Anyway, the Rusty Nails salvaged what could have been a very ugly night by winning 9 of 10 points in the last game, but still dropped the night 18-12 to Diamond Edge, which I believe leads the league, or was leading the league. And it wasn't a horrible night. It wasn't a great night, but nevertheless, at least salvaged something in that last game. Not a tremendous amount of high scores last night. Chris Tomer with the high game at 288 and only 2 700s across the league last night. Topped by Chase Donner at 730 and our own Jeff Bruner. Jeff Bruner with a 715.
I thought he had high.
No, Chase Donner came in with a 730. I mean, what can you say about Bruner? So versatile, a singer, athlete, coach, decent husband, I think.
Oh boy.
But nice bowling, Jeffy, and we'll try to get him again next week. And if you have an interest in bowling equipment, Scott mentioned last week, the holiday season coming up, give May City a call, 362-0136, or visit the website maycitybowlcr.com.
Decent husband.
How's Tracy weighs in on that.
My goodness. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We are out of last, by the way, in case everyone's curious about that. Out of last place. So, yippee for us. We're ninth.
Hey, we got a poll question. Let's squeeze that in here before we set sail. It has to do with the impending college basketball season and the announcement by Iowa State to allow about 1,400 visitors in games this year. KGYMRadio.com is where to access it. Would you feel comfortable attending a college basketball game this winter? Yes or no? And thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City for presenting the poll question today and every day.
Yeah. And a reminder, each Friday at 5 o'clock, KGYM's drive time, easy for me to say, driven by Linder Tire on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll talk about the day and weekend's upcoming big and local regional events. And brought to you by Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Green Bay and San Francisco tonight at 7 o'clock. Mark, talk tomorrow.
Talk tomorrow.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl.